Can you imagine if we didn't have a day that Christmas was on and everyone just had to be ready so that when it was announced, Christmas is here, we just had to drop everything and do it? Can you imagine that? So we had a period, December, you know, it's going to happen, but you don't know. What chaos would be there, wouldn't it? Have I got the ham? You just have to have a rotating ham. It goes out of date, get another one. Presents. I couldn't wait till after the Christmas midnight mass service to wrap any presents, even though you wrapped them, Cindy, right? After the midnight mass service, Cindy's normally up to wait. You would have to have them ready earlier because you wouldn't know the date. It's actually so convenient that we can plan towards a date where everything needs to be ready. Karen, Rob and Fiona needed to plan to get ready for yesterday. Yeah, you needed to get a clergy shirt and a dress and it gets all sorts of papers signed. So you had a date and you could work to it. And you knew if you were on track or not. You knew if you're going to miss a deadline or make a deadline. It's helpful to have these things. Christmas is coming. Yes. I love it. We can tell Christmas is coming. Isn't it great that we've set the church up the way we do? This is one of the great legacies that Greg helped us do well, to create a great atmosphere where we celebrate joy coming into the world. And I hope we continue to do that, getting really excited about the things that are good. And there's so many bad things in the world. When we've got an opportunity to major on the good and the beautiful and the grand, let's do it. And so we're doing this well as a church. I hope you do it well in your home too. Celebrate Christmas as a really just an amazing time where you let wonder come back in, where you let goodness thrive. And while we still live in the shadow of the things in the world that are broken, that we look with hope that things can be made right. In the gospel reading today, we hear of another coming, as David showed us. We had the countdown for Christmas Day, but we really don't know when Jesus' return is happening. So if you've got a Bible, turning to Matthew 24... let's have a look at this passage together. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So we don't have the luxury of going, right, it's 25 days away, so I can get this in order, this in order, this in order, this in order. In fact, we don't know the day of our death either. So Jesus coming may still be miles away, but our death could be sooner. So the question would be, are we ready? In this passage, we can't know the end, but Jesus nonetheless gives us something to do so we can be ready. And it's just this absolute position of whatever day it is, I'm ready. Years ago, I've heard of different people who are thinking about getting ready for Jesus at the end of their life. Have you ever heard of those people? I'll do what I want. I'll live the way that I want. I'll enjoy every single pleasure there is. And when I'm older, then I'll get my life right. What's always struck me about those people is that actually I don't think they'll ever get their heart right. Because if they know the goodness of God and that Jesus died for them and was offering this almighty love towards them, and they knew the weightiness of the gift, wouldn't they turn now and know that all those worldly pleasures weren't actually worth it and that they were hollow? And so I don't think that people who say that will actually turn later. They'll probably just be more cemented in their opposition towards the King of Heaven. But here in the Gospel, Jesus is saying, no one knows the day or hour, but we just need to be ready. He gave a few examples, like in the day of Noah. Now, they knew that Noah was building an ark in that story. So it wasn't that they didn't know about the judgment that was coming, but they chose to ignore it and chose to ignore the message that Noah put. And then they weren't expecting, obviously, the flood to come, even though they knew that someone had said it might, and they were caught going on about with normal life, their normal life, and they missed God's salvation at that point. There are two other illustrations that Jesus gave, and both show that these people weren't ready. So two men in a field, one taken, the other left. Two ladies grinding some mill, one taken and another left. Now, in this story, we're not told which one's in God's thumbs up and which one's in God's thumb down, but just one's taken and one's left. One was ready and one was not. In verse 42 of this Matthew reading, Jesus says, in the light of these stories, therefore, keep watch. That's our task, to keep watch, knowing that it could be at any time. As Jesus said, you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So why will we trust Jesus that he knows something about this? He doesn't know the day or the hour, but he's an authority in regard to the coming. And in this passage is embedded a little hook which should let us remember and realise that Jesus has authority in talking about this second coming. And it was in that verse 37 when we talked about in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. There's a little hook that should drag us back to the Old Testament, to Daniel chapter 7. So I'm going to flick back there. If you've got a Bible, flick back to Daniel 7. And here's what Jesus is tapping into. He often called himself the Son of Man, but here he's really directly almost quoting from Daniel 7 in alluding to this story, where Daniel writes of a vision that he had. Daniel 7:13. In my vision, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, all nations, all men and women of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So by saying when the Son of Man comes, Jesus is tapping back into this reading from Daniel, saying, I'm the one that's going to come on the clouds of heaven. So he knows something about it. That's why he has authority to say, he doesn't know the day, the Father knows, but he knows that he's the one who's coming and that we need to be ready. So that's the question I really want to ask everyone here. Are you ready today? You haven't got till the 24th, or you might have. Jesus wants you to be ready today. Have you got a short account with God? That all things that are between you and him, have they been taken away? Because today's the day where salvation is available for us. Not Christmas Day, not down the track. Every day it will be today that you can have his gift. His gift through the cross, through the resurrection, where we're forgiven and set free. There's a song that I've been singing all week. It's been in my brain, so I'm not going to sing it to you today. do it themselves. They're quite good, this mob. It's called People Get Ready, Curtis Mayfield. Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. Go back to the start. Here we go. Do you hear that? So all we need is faith to get on this train. We don't need a ticket. We have access by trusting that this train is for us. It is coming. The train is coming. Jesus, the Son of Man, is returning and he is going to set all things right. And I pray that your heart and my heart are ready to meet him. Ready and wanting to get on that train. The people who don't want to get on the train won't be at the platform because they don't love him. And that is sad. That is so sad. For God and for the people who don't get on the train. It is sad. And so with this joyous message is also a weight of loss and pain that not everyone wants to come to God. And so as we talk about heaven and also hell, when if people ever miss out, it needs to always be with sadness. But the train hasn't gone. There is hope that everyone can get on the train. So let's not give up preaching that Jesus is Lord and that we can have life with God. You know, we've got an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to invite people to church. Out of all the year, Christmas is the easiest time to ask people. So we're going to have a very full carol service in a couple of weeks' time on the 15th at night. That is the safest opportunity for you all year to invite someone into a church service where they'll hear the songs, they'll hear a small gospel talk, and it will be safe-ish for people who aren't used to being in church. They'll still feel uncomfortable, but it's probably the best chance that they would come to something like that. Is there someone that you want to be on the train with you? I'm sure there is. Have courage, brothers and sisters, to ask. The worst they can do is say no. And if lots of people come, and this church is not just full here, but it's full out there, I expect that we will go out there, right? So be watching as we invite others to Christmas. If it's full, get out there. Let them be in here. Paul, we'll be quick with this part, in his Romans passage, he says something very similar to Jesus in verse 11 of chapter 13. Again, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. So Paul again is saying, be ready, don't fall asleep on the job. But be actively engaged with what's happening. But at the start of that verse, it says, and do this, understanding the present time. In order to understand that, we've got to read the bit before, which we didn't have as the Bible was read out before. And this is what Paul says we need to be doing while we're waiting. So this is a way that we get ready. Let no debt remain outstanding. So pay your taxes, right? And your bills. But anyhow, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For the one who loves their fellow person has fulfilled the law. So we have a debt that we can never pay, never pay back what Jesus has done for us, nor does he expect us to pay him back. But we have this ongoing debt of wanting to offer to God our life, and we do it by loving others. So brothers and sisters, as we wait with his Spirit in us, with his word to guide us, may we wait in love, bringing others with us, encouraging others to get on the train, uplifting those who are fallen and walk with them. And may we continue to model well someone who loves Jesus. At the end of that Romans reading we had, and this I'll finish with, Paul says, rather than being, I'll go back and read, actually it's easier. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as those in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So Paul encourages us to change direction rather than just thinking about how we can fulfill our needs. We put Jesus on top over everything that we do. So as we come to Christmas, where we could eat an awful lot, rather than we thinking primarily about, oh, what present am I going to get, or I can't wait to get to that Christmas table, how about we stop, think about loving others as we would love ourselves. Think about putting on Christ and what he would do. And he would serve and love for the life of the world. May this be what we commit ourselves to as a church and as individuals. People, get ready. There's a train coming. Be ready today. Don't wait. Be ready with your ticket of faith. Get on board. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Son of Man, who's coming on the clouds of heaven, as we wait the rattling of that train where salvation arrives and all things are set right, may we fix our eyes on you in the waiting. May we clothe ourselves in you. May we truly love others. And may that be the gift we give back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.